You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody. It's Pete LaBarbera with Americans for Truth. We are an organization that's devoted to opposing the homosexual activist movement. Our website is americansfortruth.org. Please visit it. Please click the button for our Truth Academy coming up in Columbus, Ohio, April 1st and 2nd. We'd love for you to go if you're in the Midwest, or we've already got people flying in from California and other places. Our guest, part two of our interview, we're going to do a three-part interview with Greg Quinlan. He's on the line. He's on his cell phone driving in New Jersey. Greg, are you there?
Yeah, it's fun driving in New Jersey.
Well, you know, we just love the spontaneity of pre-taped radio, I guess. We're taping on March 2nd, and we're airing this. This will air on a Saturday. So it's not live when you'll be hearing it. But we're talking with Greg Quinlan. And Greg, I got so much to tell you about but talk with you about. But first of all, I want to say that yesterday, which would be Monday or Tuesday, I met with a guy named Jim Walder, who is the owner of Timber Creek Bed and Breakfast, and a very wonderful Christian man. And this bed and breakfast is being persecuted. Greg, have you heard about this case?
Yeah, I heard about this case. I'm not that up on it, but I know about it. And this is what happens when you approve homosexuality and condone it and codify it into law.
Yeah, let me tell you the story,
Jim. That's what happens.
Yeah, now he's not doing press because he's being defended by Alliance Defense Fund, and they've told him, you know, they'd rather him not do interviews. But I met with him. His bed and breakfast is in a little town called Paxton, 4,600 people the middle of Illinois, and it's a beautiful bed and breakfast. Well, what happened was Illinois passed a sexual orientation non-discrimination law several years ago, and then just recently, in a lame duck session, they passed a civil unions law. And what happened is a homosexual activist named Todd Walton wanted to have his civil union ceremony at Timber Creek in Paxton, Illinois. And Jim Walder, who's a Christian father of five, said he didn't allow homosexual ceremonies. They do normal wedding ceremonies on the property. But he did not want to allow a homosexual ceremony because he believes that homosexual practice is sinful. Well, the homosexual activist is comparing that to racism, and he's asking all the powers that be, Illinois Attorney General, Department of Human Rights, to take action against Jim Walder and another B&B owner, Greg, who also did not allow a civil union ceremony on their property. So it was just something else to behold here in rural Illinois, conservative values. The big city gay agenda has reached the country, Greg, and they're going to force people to accept homosexuality.
And that is the goal. If you remember the last time I was at the Americans for Truth conference, the Truth About Homosexuality, I said, it's not about equality. It's about dominance. When I was was a gay activist with the Human Rights Campaign as a fund, as it was called then, as a volunteer. Wayne always gets all upset about that. We'll talk about him in a minute.
Wayne Besson,
as a volunteer, it was very clear. They have had a strategy for decades on how to take over the culture, take over the government, take over the corporate world, in such a way that homosexuality is not just normalized, but dominant.
Yeah.
And this is what they're doing with this bed and breakfast. It is, we have to marginalize Christians as haters, nuts, which is really surprising, because today, on this day, the Supreme Court came down with a decision defending Westboro Baptist Church for their protest at funerals. And they keep saying that the reason why we're doing this is because, you know, you're sending soldiers away to protect the sin of America. And they are specifically speaking to homosexuality. Be that as it may.
Now, wait, before you, Greg, on that one, that's the famous pastor. God hates fags is his message. It's an ugly message. It's not a Christian message. And
it's not a productive message.
That's for sure.
Whether it's secular, it's not a productive message. If you're just making a secular argument, you know, in support of traditional marriage and traditional family, that message doesn't help us, you know, support our values and support our position. And it certainly, since he calls himself a Christian, and I have no reason to doubt that he is, and I just don't believe his approach, it's wrong, it is hateful, and it isn't productive. It doesn't really present the gospel. It just presents something hateful.
But Jim, Greg, in this case, it's so interesting. This is just a Christian man, the Christian family man, and he doesn't want a homosexual ceremony on his property. It's his property. But here we have the homosexual. Let me read you the homosexual's quote, Todd Wathan. His quote is, "What will be next if we let them discriminate against us? Are these businesses going to go backwards and start discriminating basically based on race, color, sex, national origin? Or what if they don't like your religion? Will they discriminate because of that?" And ironically, Greg, the civil unions law was passed. They gave it some name that sounded like it was protecting religious freedom, the civil unions law. And who knew that B&B's, bed and breakfast establishments, would become the target of the gay agenda?
Anything that's a Christian business where they can drum up a court case. Remember, the ACLU, the Anti-Christian Liberties Union, the American Communist Lawyers Union, also stands for All Crooks Love Us, will do anything they can to bring a court case against that anybody who has a basis and a premise in faith, even if that means your own private business, your own private property, and attack you on the basis of your faith as being discriminatory and invalid.
Yeah, and this goes back to, this is similar, you know, they're going to get them, they're going to, these guys face years of litigation. And
that's the point, to make you capitulate to their position because you can't afford to continue to fight this case.
Right, and that's what we've seen abroad as well. Now, they're trying to get them. They will, of course, be, if the attorney general takes action, will be based on that they are a public accommodation, which takes us back to your state of New Jersey, where there wasn't New Jersey. Yeah, it was New Jersey, the state where they tried to get the Boy Scouts, saying that the Boy Scouts were a public accommodation. And that went all the way to the Supreme Court. And thankfully, the Boy Scouts won that case 5-4.
And that's not the only place we had it. Even in the Ninth Circuit, said that you cannot compare homosexuality to race. There is nothing innate. There's nothing immutable about the actions of homosexuals. So when you have those statements made, it's very clear that homosexuality does not have a basis for defense here. But that doesn't mean they're not going to stop, and that doesn't mean that the political correctness, which has overtaken our society, isn't going to try to push for them to have their rights in these beds and breakfasts, even in churches, such as happened here in Ocean Grove, here in New Jersey, where the Methodist Church owned this pavilion and refused two lesbians to have their civil union ceremony there.
Now, what happened with that case, Greg?
Well, that case still continues. It's still going on. There hasn't been a complete settlement on it yet, but the state did decide against the church.
Now, that was it was a church-owned facility that, and they wanted, two lesbians wanted to have their ceremony at a church-owned facility?
Correct. That is the pavilion at Ocean Grove on the Jersey Shore. So, yes, that is what happened. And so what the church has done is that they've just done no upkeep on the pavilion. It looks horrible, and nobody would want to, you know, have a dog show there, let alone a marriage ceremony or civil union ceremony.
But then you have, the brats basically spoiling the whole party. So
So
anybody who wants to have a ceremony at what was probably a beautiful location now has it spoiled because these homosexual activists, it's all about them, right?
Right.
They have to be affirmed. That's what it comes down to, Greg, isn't it? Affirmation?
That's exactly what it is. It's about affirmation. You will accept who I am. You will accept who I go to bed with. You will accept what I want. And that's what this is. The homosexual lifestyle is the way I've always described it, as someone who's been there, done that, and bought the whole outfit. Shallow, lust-filled, and immature. They want their way. It has to be their way and only their way. So we are dealing with people who have an emotional deficit, just like a child, arrested somewhere early in their development where they demand their way and no other way.
Tell us what you really think there, Greg. Well, you have the authority to say that because, you know, and I haven't even introduced you as a former homosexual yourself. Anybody who didn't hear the first segment of the interview, it's online at AmericansForTruth.org. Just hit the button on the right for the Americans for Truth Hour. But, Greg, you lived it. And, you know, it's a little bit harder to say, hey, you're just a hateful religious right guy when you lived it.
That's right. I did live it. I watched 100 of my friends and acquaintances die of AIDS before I quit counting, and there have been more since then. I am a victim of homosexuality. I know what it does to the people who live it. I know how it affects their families. I've seen as a nurse how it affects the society as a whole, and I've seen what it does now to our personal freedoms and our corporate freedoms in this country as a pro-family activist, which I have been for 19 years.
Hey, Greg,
this is what homosexuality does. This is why we must stand against homosexuality and the codification of it everywhere in our laws.
Greg, we got 45 seconds of the break. Talk about, do you think America will preserve religious freedom, including the freedom to object to homosexuality?
Only if Christians stand up and fight. You know, we've got to stop this, you know, tell the truth in love. Ladies and gentlemen, it isn't love until you tell the truth. We have to stand up for our own personal freedoms. We have to stand up and fight and protect ourselves. And this extreme seeker-friendly nonsense is going to cause us to lose our freedom.
Yeah, let's talk.
Not present the gospel.
Yeah, let us talk about that seeker freedom and this whole, I don't know, I call it the nicer than Jesus crowd.
Right.
We're talking with Greg Quinlan of PFOX, Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays. Greg lived the lifestyle himself. Their website is pfox.org. We'll be right back with Greg Quinlan in a minute. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Pete LaBarber with Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. We're talking to Greg Quinlan, part two of a three-part interview. Greg's a friend of mine. He's a speaker at the upcoming Truth Academy in Columbus, Ohio. That's April 1st and 2nd. Greg was a speaker at our first Truth Academy, our debut academy in Chicago, last August, and Greg has a wonderful testimony. I encourage you to come out and hear it. Learn from him. Learn from the others who will be there. We've got Rena Lindewaldson and Matt Barber from Liberty Council and Liberty University. We've got Professor Rob Gagnon, who is the world's leading authority on the Bible and homosexuality. We've got David Kapelian, How Evil Works, and what's the other book he wrote? The Marketing of Evil. He's with WorldNet Daily. And Linda Harvey, of course. Mission America is our co-sponsor. Linda's just a wonderful Christian advocate who has really alerted the nation to the threat of the homosexual agenda to young people. I'll be there. So this is April 1st and 2nd. Go to our website, AmericansForTruth.org. Greg, these Truth Academies, we're trying to do what the gay activists do and get people grounded and confident in the facts. So many Christians are wavering and have just given up. Did you ever thought it would become like this so fast?
No, I didn't. But it's accelerating at a rate that we just don't expect. We didn't expect this. We didn't see it coming, and I don't know why we didn't. Because in my view, it's kind of obvious now.
Explain.
Well, Christians have been sitting in their churches and they haven't been doing what they should be doing, and then we've also done this thing too called seeker friendly stuff. And there's extremes and levels and of seeker friendly, but there's some that is so seeker friendly that the seeker never finds out that they're a sinner. They never find out that there's a hell. They never find out, you know, what Jesus died on the cross for them. So with all of that, it really becomes a problem. And that's sad. That's really sad. But that is what it is.
Yeah. Now, if you're wondering why Greg sounds so so good on the phone now as compared to before, he was on the cell phone before. Now he's in his office at the New Jersey Family Policy Council. But Greg, this is really you've hit on something here, which is so important. This idea of we can't judge, and really a sort of a pro-gay tolerance has crept into the church, and it's just bizarre because homosexuality is a sin like any other sin. Are we going to start tolerating adultery, or maybe we are? You know, let's face
it,
the church,
homosexuality is adultery,
and the church, and the church tolerates divorce. I mean, there are other sins, but the church has lost its salt, and it's almost like the gay activists sense the weakness and push even harder.
Exactly, and they do. They do. And that's where we are. And it's really sad.
Well, and when you talk about these cases we're talking about, you know, you're seeing a movement which is, as you know, pretty open about its desire to push its agenda. And Greg, I got on my cell phone here. I haven't put this on the website yet, but in Britain, I don't know if you saw this case, a couple of foster parents who'd fostered a bunch of kids before,
right.
Eunice and Owen Johns, are now banned from being foster parents in Great Britain because they express their opposition as Pentecostals to homosexuality.
Right.
And, you know, we don't hear the American gay activists say, oh, we'll never let that happen in America. You have the freedom. What's happened in Britain and Canada is happening now in the United States. And if that doesn't wake up the church, nothing will.
Exactly. Exactly. And but I do know that the American Center for Law and Justice, they have a European part there, and they have won these similar cases before. In fact, it's really funny because the court in the European Union actually has been upholding religious freedom. So it may be overturned. But again, we're talking about a process and a great expense and going through legal systems to defend and protect our rights that should be obvious to everyone.
Right. And that intimidates a lot of people.
And they are intimidated by it. But this is where Christians shouldn't be intimidated by it. I mean, if we are who we say we are, who do we have on our side? It's nonsensical for us to respond the way we do what's happening against us.
Now, I want to run some of these things by you, Greg. You gave your testimony last week. Again, it's available at AmericansForTruth.org. Go to the button, hit the Americans for Truth Hour on the right side, and you can get the first segment. Our friend Wayne Besson, who is a homosexual activist, sort of a wordsmith kind of guy, likes to find ways. He's the one who coined the Porno Pete label on me, which is just nasty, but it's typical. You know, the same crowd that demands tolerance and acceptance is quite willing to be nasty. And he's been – I want you to tell what he did to you. But he's come up with this thing, pray away the gay, to mock the Christians. Oh, I guess you're asking me to pray away the gay. comment on that, would you?
Well, first of all, pray away the gay, you don't. Homosexuality is wounding. There's a disconnect somewhere in the development of individuals who'd go to who wind up in the homosexual lifestyle or have those feelings and desires. So, you know, as I put it, and Christians will understand this, you can't cast out a wound any more than you can heal a demon, and you have to know the difference. We're not talking about a demonic spirit. We're talking about someone who's wounded, someone that's had an emotional wounding, and they need a healing in their hearts and minds. So prayer is part of it, but you don't pray it away. You have to come to terms with it, like it was when I gave my testimony the last segment, the last show. It was about forgiveness.
And
that was key for me to coming to terms with who I am and how God meant me to be and what my created purpose is. So it's sort of a
nasty caricature. It's a mocking caricature of what really happens.
But again, this is the teenage adolescence characteristic personality of the homosexual agenda, which is so exemplified by Wayne Besson. But Wayne Besson's vitriol towards anybody who has faith, toward anyone who says that homosexuality is not normal, is not innate, and can change, is sociopathic, to the point where he will lie and do whatever he needs to do to get his point across. He was harassing the women at the Ex-Gay Educators Caucus in the NEA convention several years ago in Orlando, Florida, to the point where he was taking pictures of them in the booth, and then he decided to mess up the brochures on the table and get in their face. I was there and got between him and them. I mean, there's a bunch of women there, so he's harassing the women, you know, brave man that he is. So I'm sitting there and said, that's enough. We've called security. It's time for you to leave. And so he puts his picture right in my face. He's going to take my eyes. I said, go ahead, take a picture of my nose hairs. And
now, have you had previous run-ins with the...
Oh, golly, yeah.
Now, wait a minute. Let's clarify. His purpose is to say there's no such thing as an ex-gay. You can train yourself on behavior, but it's you can't leave who you are. I think he calls you all sorts of names. He says you're still a homosexual. Of course, I'm a homosexual because I oppose the movement. So anybody who opposes the movement is automatically a homosexual.
Well, you're a latent homosexual and you're repressing your internal feelings. No. What you're doing. Yes, that's what he says.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What are these guys, all psychoanalysts? I mean, are they gay activists or are they psychoanalysts?
Well, they seem to think so.
Psychoactivists? I don't know.
Psychoactivists. Hey, we've coined a new term. They're psychoactivists.
Okay, so what's he all about? Explain that. He's trying to, the ex-gays, people like you, are a huge inconvenience to the homosexual lobby.
Yeah, well, we're no longer a nuisance now. We actually have become a threat, which is why they come after us. If anyone went to the 700 Club's show that would have been on March the 1st, the first 6 minutes is a segment by Paul Strand about the marriage issue in Maryland, and you'll hear somebody back behind me coughing loudly, a homosexual activist. In other words, while I'm giving my testimony that homosexuality can change and that I'm not the only one, they're coughing loudly in order to drown me out.
There's some adolescent action right there.
It is. It's very adolescent, very sophomorish. But with Wayne, Wayne Besson used to be the communications director for the Human Rights Campaign back when Elizabeth Birch was the head of HRC. And he was fired. And when I brought that up there at the NEA convention, as they were going to get the badges to come get him, he is screaming and yelling at me and using the F word about every 5 minutes. I wasn't fired, you beep, beep, beep. You know, it went on and on. And as the badges appeared, he is screaming at me. I mean, the veins are sticking out of his neck. His finger is in my face as he's wagging it within, you know, like he could have hit me with it. And that's when the badges came, saw him, and immediately removed him.
And yet this guy appeared on Bill O'Reilly's show
and
is the arbiter of other people's tolerance.
Right.
This is what kills me. Some of these guys are the most hateful people. I mean, there's just an incredible hate that they have for people like us. And yet the media puts them on and has them be sort of like an expert on tolerance.
And they're not.
It's creepy. It's when you get total power in the media, it's dangerous because there's nothing. You know, even Fox News now is trending that way.
Fox News has producers on all these shows, including O'Reilly and others. And remember, many of the people on Fox News have been New Yorkers all their lives, and so they have been around the theater people and da-da-da-da-da-da, so that they have friends who are gay. And so they think, you know, if we say that homosexuality is normal, or if we even give the other side, then we're hateful to our friends, we're hateful to our colleagues who identify as homosexual,
right.
Which is also, again, shows a media bias, even on their part.
Right. Now, Greg, how long have you been out of the lifestyle?
19 years.
Yeah, I mean, there must have been a few years where they, oh, you're going to come back and everything, but it gets kind of old after, you know, when you're well into your second decade. I mean, it's hard to say that this is not a life change.
Exactly. You know, and like I said, it was a process. It wasn't overnight. I didn't pray it away. It wasn't one prayer and a touch of anointing oil and it was gone. No, it was a process. It's a process of healing, as it is for most everyone that I know.
Yeah, I love the way you put it. Homosexuality is a wounding. There's a lot of broken people. I know that phrase is despised. Oh, we're not broken, but everybody's broken in this world. Everybody's a sinner, and they need the Lord to come in and do a healing in their life. Essentially, that's what Jesus Christ does.
Exactly. That's exactly what Jesus Christ does. But, you know, we also know two people of the Jewish faith who've left the homosexual lifestyle. You and I both know these individuals. Jonah, Jews offering new alternatives to homosexuality.
Because it's a behavior, and behaviors can be overcome.
Right. And besides all that, it's a behavior, but it's also understanding the manufacturer's guidelines.
Right. Right. Now, Greg, I want to hear about your testimony in Maryland. I want to hear about some of your other experiences with PFOX. We're talking to Greg Quinlan. Homosexuality is a wounding. Think about that, because, you know, this is a very interesting issue, a lot different than other public policy issues, but it still must be contended with. I'm Pete LaBarbera with Americans for Truth. Our website is americansfortruth.org. We'll be right back.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support. but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera. I'm talking to my friend Greg Quinlan, who is just a real asset in the battle for truth on this issue. Greg is a former homosexual. He is the president of Parents and Friends of Gay, Ex-Gays and Gays, PFOX. Their website is pfox.org. Greg is also speaking at our upcoming Truth Academy, our second one. It's in Columbus, Ohio, co-sponsored by Americans for Truth and Mission America. Greg's a dynamic speaker. He comes with a wealth of experience. What's interesting about you, Greg, is you have that ministry experience, but you also have tons of lobbying experience, which most, let's face it, a lot of ex-gays are all about ministry, and they really are naive sometimes to a fault about about the agenda, but you're unique in that you've done both.
That's right, and this is where we have to have a balance. We cannot just keep talking about we don't want to offend anybody, we don't want to hurt anybody, but we got to tell them the truth. And then the overused phrase, tell the truth in love. I have people I know and care about me that talk about that too. So the tell the truth in love is
what you do, of course. It just goes without saying.
Yeah, that is what I do. So,
right. But I mean, I know what you're saying. I mean, when you get in this movement, and how many times do you get told, "Hey, you just have to, you have to have love," and there's almost an attitude out there. The real lacking, it seems to me these days, is truth.
Right.
A lot of Christians don't want to deal with the truth, and you see young Christians who are. I mean, now you've got this whole movement. You know, this Andy Marin and these soft evangelicals. I would say left-wing evangelicals who are really being pro-homosexual, but they don't think of it that way. They think of it, they're calling that love.
No, and it's not. They're endorsing a behavior. They're not winning anyone over. They're looking popular. But what have they done? Where is the success in their ministry? The success for ministry, with helping somebody out of a sinful lifestyle, is that they leave that lifestyle, that they repent. They truly repent, meaning they turn away from that sin that is against the God, that's an offense to Him. And sin is an offense to Him. He's in charge. He's the Creator. But it's understanding, too, what my created purpose is. And Jesus Christ described this in Matthew 19 very well. What a human relationship is, what human sexuality is, what a human family is.
Now, Greg, you've counseled many people, men and women?
Yes, mostly men.
Okay. Tell me about, some of the objections. You must have heard this thing that's always said, well, I prayed and nothing happened. I prayed and prayed and I asked God to take this away from me and nothing happened. How do you answer that? Something like that?
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing about it is you can pray to God for Him to take something away, but when it's something that's inside you and it's an emotional wounding, you need to understand where it comes from and why it's there. Because if you don't, then the sin's never been taken away. It's what the enemy uses. It's that wound. It's that personal assault in your life that the enemy uses to attack you and keep you in sin, to keep you from having that relationship with the Father. So it's an understanding of where you are, what caused you to be where you are, and understanding God's purpose for you and how your behavior, how your lifestyle, how your feelings and emotions are keeping you away from Him.
Where do you find the success coming when you're talking to guys? Is it that, I mean, do you bring out stuff that was sort of buried in their life, or is it a lot of this things that they know they had a problem with their father or what have you?
Well, and not just that, there's something that's happened there, but like, got to tell you, but I'm making a guesstimate here, but it's 75 to 80% of the men and the young men that I see, there's a daddy problem or a parenting problem. They just have not got the skills they need to grow up. But for many of the men that I see, the first thing that has to happen with anything in your life that's causing you to be unsuccessful or giving you a problem, you have to want to fix it. You have to want to be whole. You have to want the healing. And that isn't going to come unless you want it. And then when you want it, as Robert Spitzer says, Dr. Robert Spitzer, you, who are highly motivated to change, once that motivation is there, change is possible.
Right. And the idea that you can change in all other areas of life, but you can't change in sexual behavior is is just alien, and yet they get around that because they're always talking about orientation as if this is who they are. And that's the phrase we hear all the time. You don't understand, Greg. This is who I am. How do you respond to that?
That's emotions. You're talking emotionally. This is who I am. I've always felt this way. I've always had these feelings. I've had these feelings for as long as I can remember. But you're talking about feelings. Feelings do not identify you. They're a part of you, but they don't make you who you are. You may not choose your feelings, but you do choose what you do with them. And you need to understand, why do I have these feelings? Coming to that understanding many times helps you to come to a realization of where you are and where you should be. That's the part. But one other thing we need to understand, too, when we're talking about this kind of wounding and a sexual wounding, sex is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful. And because of that power, and it's all-encompassing power on some, particularly when you're talking about young children and adolescents, it does wire the brain, and you have to have a change in your thinking to help fix your brain.
Yeah, and now here's Greg. I'm gonna hit you with another one that we hear all the time, which is, but I've known I was different since I was, you know, a very young child.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I don't know how people remember back that far, you know, but it's that sort of saying difference equals homosexuality. What is this thing? I mean,
you have memories, and then you have created memories. You have embellished memories. You have memories that are amended and changed to acclimate your feelings. And this is where we have to understand what's real and what isn't real. What is feeling that you fantasized into a memory, and what is a real memory?
Now, Greg, we got 5 minutes left in this segment. What tell us one success story of somebody you counseled?
Oh, wow!
One of your favorite stories with a happy ending. that Wayne Besson, you know, don't give the address because Wayne will show up at his doorstep.
No,
you know,
never. I wouldn't give the name either. You know, confidentiality. But so as not to, I'll put it in generalizations. One of the individuals, a young man who's now closer to. Well, he's going to be in his 40s now, married with children. He had that issue. He was adopted. He was sexually molested in his teens, struggled long with the homosexual feelings. And when they became overwhelming for him, he came out of the closet. In that process, he finally, after a while of disgust or seeing that there was no success in the relationships, he decided that he needed to find some change and came to our church back in Ohio where I used to be and sought some help. In the process of that, we were able to discuss where things started and where things happened. He came to terms with those things, went to those one individual in particular to confront them, and sought for them to ask for forgiveness. That never happened. The person never apologized, never repented for the deed they did. And we had to work through that. And then he had to, by his own free will, forgive that individual who had done this to him. And when he had done that, and it was a real repentance, a real forgiveness, he was able to then move on. He eventually met a young lady. They're married. They now have two children. And that's a success story. That's one.
Yeah. And so he moved on from the wounding, and he forgave. And what do you say to the we see the blogs XX gays? Oh, Greg, there's many people who went into the therapy and they left because they weren't helped. Is that a matter of not really wanting to change,
or they got someone that didn't know what they were doing? There are people who get. I've seen people too in the counseling of this where they have a relationship breakup and they've got a church background, a Christian background, so they come back to church for a while, and then when they get over the breakup, then they go back into the lifestyle.
Interesting, and we know that there are people who've gone into some ex-gay counseling and they meet another guy there, and
there
are people who don't really want to be healed, and they.
It's all a matter of that. And remember, too, when it comes to this kind of the reorientation in the counseling, which I don't like the term, but for the lack of something else, the success rates there are 30-70%. No different than when you're talking to somebody with a drug and alcohol problem, with depression, with an eating disorder. The same rates of success are the same as they are for people who want to leave a homosexuality or a sexual lifestyle.
Interesting. Now, Greg, let's switch gears. PFOX, tell us your main responsibilities at PFOX. How long have you been there again?
Well, I've been with PFOX, well, as a volunteer, probably since almost its inception. I'm now the president of PFOX, been there for about a year and a half as the president, been on the board for about 2 years, I guess.
And PFOX really is one of the leading organizations now that's creating awareness of ex-gays.
And that is one of our obligations. You know, we affirm a person's right of self-determination. Now, in the church, we call that free will, but we can't have that. So the sociological term is the right of self-determination. Have you always noticed the liberals, they use lots of words? But so we have the right of self-determination. And what PFOX does, it's always our friends, always our children. They're always your family. Just because you've had a loved one that does something, that makes a decision in their lives that you don't approve of, that you know is unhealthy, doesn't mean you stop being their family member. You need to keep that door open, keep relationship open, but you do not have to affirm or accept the choice they've made.
Well, if you have a family member, you're a brother or a sister who says they're gay, what would you counsel them to say to that brother or sister?
Okay, well, you have these feelings, I love you. I'm still your, you know, sibling, whatever you are, brother or sister, but you know you aren't born that way. Confront them. But I've always had these feelings, but you aren't born that way. PFOX has lots of literature on our webpage, and we have brochures available, too, for a donation. We're a nonprofit ministry, and we
trust
me, there's no profit. PFOX.org, PFOX.org. But we have information there to help you articulate an argument to hone your position so that people understand.
And that born gay thing is a real crutch, isn't it?
It's a hoax. It's a lie.
They rely on that very heavily.
Yeah, they do. They rely on it very heavily. And they believe it. It's a faith system. It's a belief system. They absolutely love it.
Interesting.
But in that belief system, in that faith system, then they bring out a whole culture to live around it. And that's what we're seeing now.
Well, we're talking to Greg Quinlan of Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays. Greg will be speaking at our Truth Academy in Columbus, Ohio. Go to AmericansForTruth.org or MissionAmerica.com. We're co-sponsoring it. This is going to be a wonderful event, April 1st and 2nd in Columbus. We've got one more segment with Greg coming up right after the break. We'll be right back. Segment here in part two of our interview with Greg Quinlan, who's just a very talented guy. He was in the homosexual lifestyle. He's not in it any longer. He hasn't been for a long, long time. And yet people like Wayne Besson and some of the, well, there's just a lot of these very nasty gay activists who they really despise people like Greg. They wish they weren't there. And so they sort of pretend that they're not there. Or it's just a matter of, you know, oh, Greg, you know, I could teach a right-hander to write with his left hand if I had to. You're just sort of forced a behavior change.
Well, we are talking about behavior, aren't we?
Right.
That's what it is. Behavior. That's exactly what we're talking about. When someone loses the right arm and they're right-handed, what do? They learn to write with their left hand. And you know how they do that? They do that by changing their brain, by rewiring their brain. There's science about that, by the way.
But some people can't get over the idea of attractions. I mean, when you talk to like the typical pro-homosexual, straight, liberal-minded person, they're thinking, well, that's their attractions. They can't. That's just basically, you know, that's part of their nature. Even though it's a deviant attraction to the same sex, they can't get over that attractions thing. How do you answer that?
Well, when it comes to attract. Hold on, just a
come
second.
Back
Sorry
to the phone,
that.
Greg Quinlan.
Yes, I'm back to the phone. the attractions. When you're talking about those kind of attractions, it's really nonsensical because you know your attractions change just as much as your taste change. When I grew up, I hated spinach. Now I can eat it. Your changes, your taste, your all these things change over time. It is fluid.
Yes.
Your attractions are fluid, and just so you have that attraction. Right now, I can look at a guy and find him attractive, but I'm not sexually attracted to him. I just sit there and look at him and say, "Boy, I wish I looked like that."
And what's interesting is this: the movement is talking about fluidity, and yet they don't really grant the diversity to the people who've left homosexuality. It's like this total fluid; you can do what you want, but God forbid you leave homosexuality behind.
Right, and that's where we come. Then they call us safe hatred. Self-hatred, I mean,
yeah.
You know, the self-hatred nonsense. So, you know, no, I don't hate myself. What I found out was that I thought enough of myself to realize that where I was wasn't where I was supposed to be.
Excellent. Now, Greg, we got 6.5 minutes left. Talk about this Maryland testimony. You get called in all the time. You're very prominent out there. You're one of the most best known people who was once homosexual and is no longer. Talk about what you told the legislators in Maryland who are on the verge of voting in gay marriage. This would not be the first time, but I think one of the northeastern states voted in so-called Maine. Homosexual marriage.
Yeah, Maine did, and they have something called a people's veto. And what they will do here, they will put this on the referendum. When I testified before the committee on marriage, it showed them that even in France, secular, humanistic France, they will not codify homosexual marriage for the sake of the children, because children do better in a mother-father relationship, and a child should not be denied that relationship by any act of its government. And this is exactly what they've decided to do. As it were, a political correctness, which has gone insane. They're going to go ahead and codify homosexual marriage. But the people have a voice here, and this is where all of us need to stand in the gap and pray for the people of Maryland, call our friends, neighbors, and family members in Maryland, support them, help them, and get them out to the polls so that they will vote on this. We've probably got at least a 6 month to a year process, but it is going to happen. It's going to be on the ballot because as I'm going to put it bluntly, the fascists in Maryland are going to vote for this.
Right. And, you're talking about political correctness run amok, and you are so right, because look at, I just the other day picked up a copy of People magazine. On the cover was Elton John with his younger homosexual lover and the baby they've adopted, and people are treating this, oh, it's just another celebrity with a kid. No, there's some special circumstances here.
That child is being denied another sex parent. It takes two parents, a mother and a father, to raise a child.
And something that was so fundamental. I mean, there was, I do believe still the people would not support homosexual adoption if they started thinking about it. But there's a lot of people who aren't thinking anymore on this issue. They've sort of, okay, two dads. I mean, look at the show Modern Family. It's a popular show. You've got the homosexual dads there with the kid. I mean, something's happening, Greg. How do you explain the free fall in our society?
Oh,
it sort of deserves its own show, doesn't it?
Yeah, it kind of does deserve it.
Philosopher Greg here.
We've rejected God. We've rejected God. We've rejected our heritage. Again, there is the smarter than God crowd.
Right.
And they're there. And what I see, too, is especially here since I moved to New Jersey, there are a lot of schools here, an Ivy League school called Princeton. You have Rutgers, the State's College. But what I see here, a lot of educated people who have just decided that science is God. And the church has done that, too. So, even the Catholic Church will come out with cyclicates, sort of amending their statements to accommodate some sort of scientific finding, when all that finding is nothing more than someone's opinion or theory made to sound like fact. Understand this. Whatever the Bible says is true. Don't worry about science. Real science will catch up.
Right. And, some of the fraud science is still embedded in the minds of Americans. I think, that's the problem with the born gay stuff. That was a big push. I don't think it's as much of a push anymore. But remember, there was some federally funded research. Dean Hamer, who he had left his wife to become a homosexual. Now he's a homosexual activist filmmaker. But he sort of posed as a scientist, an expert on genetic homosexuality, and he was really pushing that. And you know how it is, Greg. Not as many people see the correction as they saw the initial story. That thing was ballyhooed all over the media.
Right, it was. Simon LeVay's brain study with the nodules on the pineal gland is just bogus. And he even said so. He said that on the Today Show with Brian Gumbel. Years ago now. But yeah, it was touted as if it was the fact. It was not a fact. It was completely unsubstantiated. And when you took a look at the findings and the science there, he only had 36 cadavers.
But Greg, okay, let's get back to you. We got 2 minutes here. When young people, teenagers, when they hear your story and they see you personally, does it make a big difference for them? Does it open up something in their minds?
When I go to youth groups, they start giggling and laughing, that isn't true. I've been, I know better, just the gay gene. And then I have to ask them the question, where is this gay gene? Who found it? What's the number of the gay gene? Is there one? You believed a lie because your teachers have told you that. And why the teachers are telling you that? Because they believed a lie, too. No, there is no gay gene. Dr. Francis Collins, director of the Human Genome Project, National Institutes of Health, mapped the human genome, world-renowned geneticist. What did he say? Caused him to say after they did the mapping, homosexuality is not hardwired.
Right.
It's a wounding. It's not genetic. It's not biological. There's no biological predisposition to have homosexual sex.
But yet it's still talked about that way. That's, and I think that's the media's role in this whole thing. The media perpetuates myths and falsehoods about homosexuality. No negative information gets through. The disease rates, et cetera, those don't come through in the media, Greg. And so what you have is ignorance flourishing, and a lot of people who think they know about homosexuality don't really know much at all.
Well, if Katie Couric says it, it has to be true, right?
<That's> right.
Not. I wouldn't trust a thing out of Katie Couric's mouth. The point is that we have no objectivity because we have no real professional journalist. And even a real professional journalist can be hogtied by their editors and their producers. So we have to be diligent ourselves to stay on message, to understand that we do know what is right and what is wrong. We're told that by our Creator, and that with that, we have the power to tell people the truth, and truth has the power to change hearts and minds.
And Greg, with that, I'm going to say thank you for your second part here. We'll be talking to you next week, and I really encourage listeners to look into our Truth Academy in Columbus. You come in here, Greg, order the tapes from the last Truth Academy in Chicago. Greg is exactly right. We need to get the information. There's a lot of lies out there in the culture. The media is full of them. The media is part of the gay movement now. Greg, I thank you for your good work. And people, you can donate to PFOX, pfox.org. Support this organization. It's a wonderful organization. Support Americans for Truth. We need your help, too, at americansfortruth.org. We'll be back next week with part three, our final part of our interview with Greg Quinlan. Thank you very much.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.